T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal coming up. Your phone call's coming up too. It is Bills Football Monday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sal is going to join us on the Western Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Could use a couple cases right now. Sal, good morning. We have to start with Arrow Downs. It's been a while. How you doing?
Pretty good, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good. What was the biggest problem? What got to you as like the biggest problem you took away from last night's game?
I don't know if there's a biggest one. I just think that the entire, I think both sides of the ball you could look at, they really struggled on offense in a lot of areas, in a lot of ways. And they compounded the fact of, you know, they compounded it by the receivers not getting separation. I don't think Josh Allen saw the field very well most of the first. I think he started to figure it out a little more in the second half. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, decision making when it came to some critical times, you guys have been talking about it all morning. But defensively, too. I mean, they had absolutely no answer for Travis Kelce. Second half for Tyreek Hill. You know, it didn't seem like they had a good enough game plan to combat those guys. But, you know, I guess thinking about it overall, it's just that there was more of a gap, I guess, between the Chiefs and Bills than I thought there was. I'm sure, and a lot of it is that they just didn't play that great. It could have been a closer game. But, you know, you walk away thinking, man, that's just how are you going to beat that team? There's still a mountain to climb there.
You know, we were talking about the field goal attempts on fourth down, and, you know, you made an interesting point. I mean, it didn't start well for Josh Allen, and then that's another part of the frustration of the two field goal attempts inside the 10. That drive before halftime, and then their first possession of the third, where both of them end up with the field goal attempts inside the 10, those were two of their better drives. Josh looked good on that final drive before the half. He's throwing the ball. He's getting it to his playmakers. The passing game's working a little bit. They're moving it downfield. Same deal on the Bills' first drive of the third quarter, Sal. The passing game looks like maybe it's beginning to come around a little bit, and then both drives, they decide to go for the field goals at the end.
Yeah, and look, I'm with you guys. Like, I agree that there should have been different decisions in those. I also think that many people are focusing way too much on those things as the reason they lost. They couldn't stop Travis Kelce. They couldn't stop Tyreek Hill, and their wide receivers couldn't get open. And I know I agree with you, Howard. You go down swinging, and in that game, you should make it. And Sean McDermott admitted after the game, I think that, you know, at least one of them, he said, you know, he has to go back and look, and at least in one of them, you know, he probably should have, you know, gone for it. There's also no guarantee you make it. You know, I mean, I think a lot of times when we talk about fourth downs, there's he should have gone for the touchdown because in many people's minds, you're going to get it. That's not the case. So I'm not defending it at all. I just think I think people focused on that being the reason they lost. That is not the reason they lost. It could have helped. I don't think it gave them as good of a chance to win. It didn't maximize their opportunity to win. They lost the game because they did not play well on either side of the ball.
Yeah, and for me, Sal, that's a little more where I am. In the offense, you know, the field goals are frustrating, but the biggest frustration is that the offense we had seen and kind of believed to be one that could go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs in two games didn't. I mean, they had maybe their two worst offensive games against Kansas City, and that's not a defense that really does that to too many opponents. So what about the matchup specifically that you see makes it so? Like, why did the Bills struggle against the Chiefs defense more than maybe more than anybody?
Well, I thought they had a different game plan this time, first of all, Jer. You know, the first game plan, the Chiefs did a really good job of they mixed in some of what they did last time with this time. The first time, they played that softer zone. They said, you're not going to beat us. You're going to have to work for everything. And I thought the Bills kind of were trying to, you know, fit square pegs into round holes and back in that week six game, so to speak. You know what I think they did in this game? I think they saw what the Ravens did against the Bills. The Ravens did the same thing. They got up in their faces and they blanketed them. Then they said, you're just not going to beat us man to man. We don't think that your receivers can get open. And it's funny because earlier this year, Bills receivers were just crushing man-to-man defenses, and they had an answer every time. So teams went, okay, we're going to have to play zone, started to figure that out. But I think that as the season went on, maybe – and I'll have to go back and look maybe even, you know, against the Colts or whatever, in other games maybe they struggle. But especially the last 2 weeks, it's the physicality. It was getting up on them. It was covering them off the line of scrimmage. And then Josh having to move off of different things and looking. The other thing they did, though, which they did take away from the they did in both games – They disguised their defenses really well until late in the clock. And even Josh said that after the game. And they would show a blitz, Josh would audible, and then they'd go back to something. And then, you know, there's no time in the clock for him to change again. And Murph made a great point during the broadcast, which is it seemed like, what they needed to do sometimes was just call the play and run the play. And it seemed like there was, to me and to us, I think, it seemed like there was a little bit of a, okay, we're going to do this because you're doing that. Oh, then you're going to change this. And way too much thinking pre-snap instead of just going and doing what you do, if that makes sense. I think the Chiefs did a really good job of forcing the Bills to have to overthink it.
With regard to the man-to-man stuff, Sal, could that be a function of the Bills' receivers not playing at 100%? Like Beasley's recently injured and Brown recently injured. And I mean, Diggs is on the injury report a little bit here and there with that oblique. Is that it? That they the guys that beat man all the time, maybe not at 100%.
Yes, I believe it is. If I'm on the other side I'm looking over there and I'm like, okay, John Brown just hasn't been himself the second half of the year. We know he's been on, he was injured for a while. You know, the last time they played, same situation. John Brown just couldn't move, basically. Beasley, you know, he hurt his knee against New England. He's been on the injury report since then. They come into the game with Gabriel Davis, basically, you know, being hobbled. There was a question if he'd even play. He winds up playing in the game. And I don't think Stephon Diggs is known necessarily. He's a really good route runner. We know that. But, you know, it's not like he's a super physical guy. So I absolutely think that's part of it, Jeremy. It's not that they necessarily can't. I think they were in a situation where it was more difficult for them to do it. So, look, the Chiefs are a very well-coached team. The Bills got out-coached in the game, I think, on a few different levels and a few different scenarios. But I think that was one of them, where they just basically did a lot of things to make the Bills overthink at the line of scrimmage. And when it ultimately came down to actually, once the ball was snapped, I thought they got physical across the board with the wide receivers and didn't allow them to really have much space. And Josh tried at times to do a little too much. I just didn't think I don't think he saw the field never all that well once that was going on.
Yeah, never comfortable. And, you know, Sal, the other thing is, so they're locking down the receivers and kind of funneling the ball from Allen to Dawson Knox and the running backs, right? That's probably what Kansas City wanted to do, was funnel the ball to Dawson Knox and the running backs. Mm-hmm. And I just think with those specific players, you know, Knox is an interesting guy. We talk about him plenty. He made some catches yesterday. Do they need an upgrade at tight end? Do they need an upgrade at running back? You know, I guess the answer or the question is, what's the answer for that, for what Kansas City did to them?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do they need upgrades? Sure, maybe. I think Dawson Knox is a fine player, but of course he's a little too inconsistent. I think we all recognize that fact. I think the answer, Jeremy, is they need more speed at both positions. I think that's the answer. You know, Devin Singletary, that drop was big. I mean, huge. I wrote about it. It was 2nd and 7. He gets the first down over midfield. You have the ball. You have first down inside Chiefs territory in the second quarter with the lead. Instead, they punt it back, and 3 plays later, the Chiefs are in the end zone, and now the game is totally swung. They put T.J. Yeldon in. Yeldon had a nice game. He's one of the only arrows up that I gave. But I think what showed up yesterday was something we've talked about a lot, but it really didn't come into play. People talk about the lack of running game. What's the lack of running game for the Bills? They ran the ball okay at times. They need more speed, I think, coming out of the backfield. And whether that is running the ball, getting to the second level and being able to pull away, the home run hitter, if you will, and we've talked about that, or someone who can be a better matchup out of the backfield with some speed, and maybe also a tight end, right? I mean, that could be as well. Dawson Knox, like I said, I think he's a nice matchup, but they probably need more speed at both positions.
Sal with us here, and we'll get some calls in too. Of course, Mike in Springville, thanks for holding on, and welcome to Bills Football Monday on WGR. You're on with Sal.
Thank you for taking my call. I was going to talk about the field goal, but in the second half when they got behind, it was, I think it was getting in the fourth quarter, and I thought to myself, did they even know how to run the no huddle? Then they finally did, but they wasted a lot of time in between plays, it seemed to me like. It just seems to me like Josh Allen is good, but he needs someone to teach him to be better. He doesn't have the instincts of Mahomes. I honestly don't think that McDermott and Dable are that good. And it looks like Frazier's gone. I mean, they got out coached. That's about all I can say. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Well, the good news is I don't think anybody has the instincts that Patrick Mahomes has. Josh is part of a rather long list of quarterbacks in the league who can't make the plays and do what Patrick Mahomes does. He's the best player in the game.
We're going to go all of a sudden that the coach and the coordinator aren't good. Come on.
Respectfully to the caller, Mike, I disagree with pretty much everything you said. Number one, they opened the game in the no huddle. They know how to run the no huddle. I do agree, though. I will agree with this. They should have ran it more. There's no doubt. I thought they should have ran it more, and that goes to the point I was saying earlier. Run the play that's called instead of being overthinking everything once you get to the line of scrimmage. All right, number two, Josh Allen just had an MVP-type season. He is really, really good. He did not have a great night for a lot of reasons. Some of that's on him. Some of that is on other things. He has very good instincts. He's also not Patrick Mahomes. We're comparing to the greatest quarterback in the league right now, probably. And Sean McDermott rightfully deserved consideration for Coach of the Year. And it just took this team to the AFC Championship game. And Brian Daboll is a really, really good offensive coordinator. It was not their best night. It is not a time for knee-jerk reaction to say that all these people are not good.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, at some point you have to say, tip your hat to your opponent. They didn't lose like this to the – if they lose like that to the Colts, we have a conversation. They lose like that to the Chiefs, and we say, all right, that's the standard in the league is the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe they win a second Super Bowl in a row. And what do you have to do to get closer to them? I'm glad you mentioned speed in our last question, Sal, because that's the thing I see out of that Kansas City offense that this Bills offense needs more of, is the speed. You know, McKenzie gives that to them. Those McKenzie plays worked really well. You know, more of those, not just last night, but throughout the season, more speed plays and a way to make this offense a little bit faster.
Yeah, look at Hardman, guys. I know Hill and Kelsey were the big guys last night, but what did Hardman have, like a 50-yard run on an end around? They have so many different weapons and a number of fast guys, and Sammy didn't even play last night, but so many speed guys to go to, whether it's wide receivers whether it's pass plays, jet sweeps, whatever you want to call it. They have so much speed on the field. It's very, very difficult to defend, just Hill alone, right along the other guys.
And flip it around the other way, right? Well, you just had Howard. I mean, you need more speed on defense, too, by the way,
if
you're going to go against them.
Yeah.
You could probably point to that for the Bills. And one thing we've always talked about is the Bills rely more on a faster, lighter defense, especially up front. But even then, you could see the mismatch in speed between the Chiefs' offense and the Bills' defense. But they do that to everybody. They're a really, really good team. That is part of this. I know that here we are. We analyze this team, and, everybody's down and hurting today. I get it. They also played a team that's better than them and is the team you're going to have to climb and get over. Like, give them, as Jeremy just said, a lot of credit. They're super well coached. They have a lot of talent on the field. There's no shame in losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the hurtful part today is knowing that they didn't give themselves more of a chance to beat them, though, for a lot of reasons, whether it's decision-making or execution. I think that's what hurts today is you really hoped that they would have given themselves more of a punching chance, but it just got away from them too quickly because of things of their own volition.
Get to Brian and Arcade next. You're on Bills Football Monday. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. So, obviously, you had the defensive problems. On offense, I had three observations. I thought, watching the game, too many tight formations. And what I meant by that is we never really got many true four and five wide receiver spreads. So we ran a lot of like what we did against the Colts. So I saw a lot of tight formations without as much space on the field. That second down and three, notably, after you thought Singletary was pulled, he came back in the game. Second and three, you run an I formation. That just got blown up. And then you had the throwaway on third down.
Are you talking about the one near the goal line in the red zone there?
Yeah, I thought that was.
Yeah, me too. I didn't like that. You know what? That play, they come in, they put Lee Smith, and he splits out. It was really weird. You know what that is? I'll tell you exactly what that is. That's a play that you see something on film that you say, hey, I'm putting this special play in for a special time, and then when we get there, we're going to do it. And that's when Brian Daboll decided to do it, and it didn't work. I agree with you. I think it just seemed like that was a very odd play, odd formation. But that's what that is. When you see something like that happen, that is specifically put into the game plan to say they saw something they thought could work in that situation, and then boom, they just decided to go to it then, and by hook or by crook, we're going to get this play in. But I didn't like it either.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I thought you guys hit on it. McKenzie, I mean, he has two jet sweeps, two first downs, then he immediately goes to the bench after both plays. I didn't understand that. And then the last one would be Allen and his rollouts. I mean, it got pretty predictable. He constantly rolls out rights, and without those miracle toe drags, I mean, you're just cutting off half your field. I mean, occasionally, I get it, it's his dominant hand, but occasionally can you roll out to the left? Because, I mean, there was a stat years ago, there was that one quarterback who couldn't throw to that side, and it just makes it easier for defenses to keep slanting that way. I just thought he constantly, in addition to holding on to the ball, trying to make something happen, because the receivers weren't getting separation, that constant rollout to the right burns play after play, and it just makes it easier on the defense.
All right, appreciate the call, Brian. Thank you. All right.
Well, I thought maybe more Allen runs, too, to be honest. I mean, I was waiting for him to take off more frequently because it was was it their best play?
Well, you know what, Jeremy? I think that's where the fourth down stuff comes into play. I think it's twofold for me. You get to the red zone. The Chiefs had the worst red zone defense in the NFL coming into the game, by the way, in the regular season. And I think part of that is, you know, they're not the personnel-wise. A lot of times they can't be as match up as big and physical when the ball gets down there. But I thought they should have run more of Josh in those short yardage situations. And maybe you don't even have a fourth down. And if you do have a fourth down, you're going to go for it. Like, that's a play you can turn to because you hadn't really shown it. You know, that would have been a nice design runtime. I agree with you. I thought I was looking for a little bit more. Allen ran for 88 yards, and most of it was just on scrambles. You know, when he felt that he had to bail out of the pocket, I would have liked to have seen that. So yeah, I there's a lot of things we could point to. I know that most of the country and most of Buffalo, and I'm going to field a lot of calls today on the Extra Point Show, is going to be about, you know, field goals over touchdowns or decisions to kick the field goal. And I agree, and I get it, and I think those were not good decisions. I also think that they're not the reason they lost.
Yeah,
I think it's frustrating because if they make a better decision, if they make a different decision and they score, both things have to happen, by the way. They give themselves a better chance to win, and they didn't maximize their chances to win. But, man, there were a lot of reasons they lost that football game last night on both sides of the ball.
Just to jump on that fourth down point one more time, I think the biggest thing about it, it's the fourth downs and the field goals themselves. But maybe more than that, it's that the Bills aren't that team.
Yeah.
They weren't that
team. They were out of character, right, last night?
Yeah, that's it. It's how come in the biggest game you changed what you do? Because Bills fans had, gotten used to seeing them be aggressive and seeing that they were – I mean, they're the team in the NFL that kicked field goals the least in those spots. And last night, they made it a habit. And it's just kind of that's the thing, I think, is you have that confusion of, wait a minute, you changed today? Why? You know, just because it's the AFC Championship game. And it makes you wonder a couple other things. Not to say that, you know, I agree with you. I'm more concerned about how do you find an offense that can travel and can be like Kansas City's. But having it be out of character was troubling.
Hunter, yeah, I get it. And I think the reason you get out of character maybe is because, and you could definitely say the opposite should be true about what I'm about to say. You look on the other side, you say, that's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Let's do whatever we can to hold on as long as we can, and we'll make a couple plays. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of similar to the first time you played, which is, let's just hold on for as long as we can and not allow a big play, and then at some point we'll get a chance. And they almost did, right, in that game where they almost got the ball and the fumble, and they would have had the ball one possession game where they get the stop on the third down. In this game, it was more like, let's hold on as long as we can, so let's just keep extending the game as much as we can instead of being aggressive, and then suddenly we have no chance.
And for me, the scariest part about the Chiefs is not that they can't stop the Chiefs. It's that they can't keep up, and we thought they could.
Yep. I understand.
All right, Mr. Capaccio, we'll see you at 10 o'clock. Yeah, sorry. right? Okay, extra point show today
Sounds
for
good.
Sal. His article.
I will be in last extra point show of the year, yes.
His article, arrow down, arrow up, available WGR550.com as well. Sal, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Headlines coming up, your calls too. We got full phone lines. Don't anybody go anywhere. We're open the rest of the hour. We're going to get everybody in as we talk about the Bills' loss in Kansas City. It is Bills Football Monday on WGR, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Take the shotgun snap, takes it, going to keep it and run with it. Left side, gets good yardage inside the 15.
Ball.
No, ball comes out, loose ball. Who's got it? The Bills may have it. It is Buffalo ball. Cam Newton fumbled at the 12-yard line, and the Bills recover. It
game.
Looks like Marlowe on the bottom of the pile comes up with a football.
That is the game
Justin
right
Zimmer
there.
Justin Zimmer got the strip, I believe, and the Bills come up with a football.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Kelce goes in motion, left side. The snap, Mahomes fires left side for Hardman, makes the catch, scoots into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City. A 3-yard touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes to Mecole Hardman. Patrick Mahomes will take a shotgun snap. Mahomes, little flip underhanded to Kelce, powers his way into the end zone for the touchdown. Travis Kelce, a 1-yard touchdown pass underhanded from Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs score again. From the 5-yard line, third and goal, the snap, Mahomes fakes the handoff, throws one up high, got a man wide open, Kelce, touchdown Kansas City. He was wide open at the 1.5-yard line, touchdown Kansas City.
Our game highlights brought to you by the Stam Law Firm. Let our family protect your family. Visit stamlaw.com. We'll get to calls here. Kelce, by the way, Travis Kelce, 15 targets, 13 catches, 118 yards, and two touchdowns in the Chiefs win last night. Well, pick things up in Rochester. Joe, thanks for holding on, and welcome. You're on Bills Football Monday on WGR.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Kind of a rough Monday today. Something that no one seems to be talking about is I think last night the crowd had a huge impact on the game. I mean, you could clearly see Joshua struggling, getting, you know, changing plays at the line. And I think this year in particular, you know, with the quietness of no fans being there, I think it really kind of threw him off and, you know, maybe contributed a little bit to, you know, just how things didn't go well for him.
I think it was more about Kansas City and what they were doing. I mean, like when Sal was saying last time, and I didn't get a sense that it was inability to communicate. I think it was more about, like Sal said, they were doing a nice job of showing something pre-snap and then switching into a different coverage. And, you know, Josh was holding on to the ball a lot, and he looked like he was confused, maybe more so in the first half, a little less so in the second half. So I'm going to – I didn't get a sense, Jeremy, did you, that it was crowd noise related? I think it was more about Josh not sure what he was seeing out there on the football field, and I guess that would be more of a credit to the Kansas City defense necessarily than the fans in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about it because it's never going to get easier at Arrowhead than it was yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that place is loud when it's full.
Maybe, you know, players and offenses had gotten used to the ability to do whatever they want. I mean, the Bills have played a couple of games where there have been fans,
mm-hmm.
right?
Arizona.
In Miami.
Yep.
Arizona. Did Arizona have fans that day?
Yeah, because Lorenzo Alexander was tweeting in the stands. He was there.
I thought it might have been just friends and family.
Oh, anyway. Okay. I thought it was – maybe it was. I know there were people there. I just didn't remember whether it was friends and family or not. Did Tennessee have fans?
What's that?
Tennessee, that game coming out of the COVID?
Yes, Tennessee would have had fans. Yeah, I mean, it's just – I don't know. It's possible that it had some effect. I mean, the Bills fans had an effect on Baltimore when they were here, mm-hmm. right? So it's possible, but it's just never going to get easier than that. So that's one of the reasons I didn't think about it too much.
Let's go to Nino in Buffalo next here on WGR. Go ahead, Nino.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the biggest problem has been the problem all year, and I agree with the one caller and what you guys were talking about earlier, that it's our running game. If Josh Allen had the same running attack that Patrick Mahomes had, I believe he would be more like Patrick Mahomes. I think key to Patrick Mahomes' success is that two-headed monster. That running game is ridiculous, and it's always a threat to go wide. And then on defense, because they have such a good running attack, Kelce slips behind the linebackers when we guess run, and then Kelce slips in front of the linebackers when we're playing pass. So we just don't have the same threat. I don't know what you guys think. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I'll agree on one part of Kansas City's run game, and that's the sweep stuff and the end-around stuff. Mm-hmm. They did not run the ball effectively last night.
No, they didn't. Right.
I mean, they had 25 carries for 114, and that includes that big, huge run. The Bills ran the
ball better. Hardman's 50-yard run was the big run.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is good because they have a run game at all. I'm not even sure the Kansas City's run game is – I never think about it.
No, I'm going to bet. I was going to go back and check this, Jeremy, because in the fourth quarter they would have run the ball, especially on that final drive. They were just running out the clock.
They came out
throwing the ball. They for three quarters. I'm going to guess what 75% of their plays, whatever the number were, pass plays. Look, I think the Bills, like you know, the Bills when they need to run the ball, it would be nice to have a more explosive running game. But they didn't. They were the second highest scoring in the league this season. The running game is not, like, the lack of a running game is not killing the Bills. Kansas City wins by not running the football, by the way. Their identity is, we have Mahomes, we have Kelce, we have Hill, we have Hardman, we have all these weapons. You stop our passing game. And that's how they win football games. Look, Mahomes last night only had five runs for 5 yards. They won the game because he came out throwing and the Bills couldn't stop their pass. And the Bills win games because they have a wealth of weapons that is really difficult to shut down unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs for some reason. So this is not upgrading the running game. I mean, you know, you'd like to get a little bit more productivity, but it's not why they lost.
Here's just some stats on the season. Number of 40-yard runs on the season. You know how many the Bills had? One. The Chiefs, zero. And 20-yard runs for the season, the Bills and Chiefs were tied. I would agree that the you know, I want the Bills to run the ball more effectively, but not more often.
Right. When they do it, be more effective when you decide to do it. But you still should not be changing the identity of your offense and trying to establish like a quote, balance between the run and the pass in the game. That's not what they do well.
You know? So, I mean, yeah, to the caller's point, like, I do agree that it could help Allen in a lot of spots. I just don't think that's what makes the Chiefs good. What makes the Chiefs good are two guys, three guys, of course, Mahomes. But the stats for Hill and Kelce.
Unbelievable.
unbelievable because they are two matchup nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you're supposed to do against them. You know, this is a – I keep making this point about – it's just something I'd like to see from the Bills' offense, and it kind of gets to the caller wanting a run game to be better. I don't want more runs, but I need more from the running back position.
Yeah.
And Moss had started to really come on, and even Moss is fine. Between Moss and Singletary, I want one of those guys and one speedster. I need something. I need if I've got a running back in the backfield that I can throw it out to as a whatever, as a check down that really can make something happen. You know?
You don't have an explosive running back.
I don't
weapon.
Think they have enough speed at the running back position.
Yeah.
And every time I bring that up, you know, it kind of gets to, oh, so you want to hand it off more? No.
No.
And with the exact same mix, you know, right around where it was. I think they need to be a little bit more dynamic at that position. So maybe in the draft this year, you know, find a third-round pick, another one, on a running back.
That's not Moss either, by the way. He's not what you described. I mean,
no,
he's a good runner, but he's not what you described.
Yeah, it's neither one of those. And, you know, we're at the this is what the offseason's going to be, though. We're going to be at the edges of the roster. How do you get by Kansas City? There are going to be some answers on defense to try and make things a little bit better. There are going to be some answers on offense because – I mean, what's more concerning to you in the two games they've played against the Chiefs? This is the thing that's so strange to me, is that every other team plays the Chiefs, and it's, oh, we can't keep up. The Bills play the Chiefs, and they can't even score.
Yeah.
It's not even about keeping up. They didn't put up 24 points. Oh, they did put up exactly.
They got 24,
But I mean 24 as the game is still competitive and can't keep up. That game... It wasn't as close as it even looked.
The Bills got 41 points in their two games against Kansas City, which is
right.
Well below their season average.
Way below. And if not for not quite garbage time, but plenty of those touchdowns are after the game is almost out of reach.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the most concerning thing. And as I said, look, if you when you do decide to run, be more effective is as far as you would go with the running game. We said it with Kansas City, right? Hey, if the Chiefs want to run the ball, I'll take my chances with that game plan. If I'm playing Kansas City, I would much rather see them give it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams or jet sweeps with their receivers than throwing the ball to Kelce and Hill. And the Chiefs know that too. The Chiefs came out last night. There was no pretenses about, well, maybe they're going to try and let us run and we'll try and establish the run. No, they came out throwing the ball and they, you know, to an extent bludgeoned the Bills pass defense with their passing game. If you're a Bills opponent and the Bills decide to go run heavy in the game, you'll take that. This season, you would have been very happy for them to run the ball and throw it less to Diggs and Brown and Beasley and Davis and Knox and whatever. So it isn't, you know, I don't think the Bills are lacking. Boy, they really need to balance the offense and have a big running threat. I think, as Jeremy said, you know, you don't want, there were too many games where the best runner was your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most productive running play last night was a Josh Allen scramble. And you'd rather not have that. You'd like to have some more of a threat when you decide to put the ball in a running back hands.
Yeah, and you know, for as dynamic as they are as a passing offense, would like to see to find a way to be a little bit more of a home run hitter.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs drives, you know, you had some early drives that took some time and took some plays. Once the Bills got into their kick and field goals mode, you know, by the time you digested the Bills kicked the field goal, the Chiefs had ripped off a 50-yard play.
Yeah.
Whether it's the Hardman run or Tyreek Hill getting the outside.
Tyreek Hill was a short pass, turns into a 70-yard catch.
Right, and he had the other one where he stepped out of bounds, which was almost another 40-yard play.
There was 30. Yeah, it was like a 31-yard play, and then they basically cut it in half.
The Bills' offense has been really good and precise and impressive, but I guess it is missing home runs a little bit? We've seen deep throws to Brown and to Diggs a little bit. But the tight end's never breaking a game. The running back's never breaking a game. And the Chiefs do, right? They've got guys at those spots that break games open.
Well, when the Bills tried some deep shots, there was one drive where they tried Diggs twice on the same drive. And it was covered or it was run throw down the sideline where Diggs was open, right? He had a couple steps on a guy, but the ball wasn't that great. And he had to kind of turn around and try and adjust to it. When the Bills tried to beat them over the top, I mean, they really were not successful. Kansas City's coverage was excellent last night. 803-0550 to join us. We'll get a little business in here. We got folks on hold. Everybody hold on to your spot because we're open next segment and 8 o'clock. We'll get caught up and get everybody's thoughts in on last night's Bills loss to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. We're talking about it all morning long. It is Bills Football Monday on WGR, which is presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
The snap. Allen looks to his left, fires left side. In, oh, to the end zone! Stephon Diggs makes the catch! Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Stephon Diggs! Catches the touchdown pass from Josh Allen. 21 yards, the go-ahead touchdown, and it comes with 34 seconds left to play.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Jeremy White here for Southern Tier Brewing Company. Brewed and loved in the 716, delivered daily fresh from Chautauqua. And, well, we had a good season. Now we roll into hockey season. You still might need some variety for beers for some of these games. You've got more football still. The Overpacked Variety Pack from Southern Tier is five different beers that you can grab in one 15-pack. The three IPAs are the New Juice IPA, the 2X IPA, and the Lakeshore Fog, which is a hazy and juicy IPA. There's an 8 days a week infinitely drinkable blonde ale and the Live Session Pale Ale. So maybe you had some experimenting going on through the playoffs, maybe not. Either way, the Overpacked Variety Pack is still there for you. So is Southern Tier IPA, one of the longest tenured IPAs on the Buffalo craft beer scene. Helped a lot of people kind of branch out. And if you'd like to find that, what's the highest recommendation for some of Southern Tier's IPAs? They've got a couple new ones they've just released, too, that you can track down. If you want to find a Southern Tier near you, stbcbeer.com. That's stbcbeer.com to find your local grocer or beverage store that might have Southern Tier brewing available for you. Brewed and loved in the 716, Southern Tier Brewing Company, Lakewood, New York, 21+.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He'll take it off the wall for Miller. Walks it to the middle of the zone for Ristolainen. Back to Miller. Score! Stall in front of the net with the shot from the point by Miller. And the Sabres on the power play have tied this game at one apiece. Eichel again, working off the boards, down to the goal line. Reinhardt to Eichel. Not a lot of room for him to move off the boards. Here's a cross-ice pass, scores! Victor Olofsson right at home in that circle off to the net side of the goal. And this game is tied at two. Second units are out there for both teams, special teams. Hall couldn't quite get it into the area in front of the net. Now on the far side, Miller up top, Ristolainen. Here comes Stahl, scores! A rocket of a shot from the right circle. And the Buffalo Sabres have taken the lead at 3-2. Another power play goal.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. Our first moments of the game from yesterday's Sabres shootout win in Washington. All three of their regulation goals on the power play. The first moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. While I have you, let's get you the three stars of the game. Eric Staal, Justin Schultz, Rasmus Ristolainen. The three stars of the game from yesterday. And that brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Hey, 2 points out of a playoff spot with 50 games left.
Hey, meaningful hockey! Hockey season's underway now, huh? So I gotta start paying attention to hockey season. Hey, at least they got 3 out of 4 points, with the undermanned Caps team. That was big getting 2 points yesterday after not being able to get the second point the other night. It is Bills Football Monday. We are going back to more of your calls. Thanks for hanging on. I know the wait times are long this morning. We appreciate your patience. Garrett in Jamestown, welcome. Go right ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I'm only 18 years old, so this is the best Bills team that I've seen in my entire life. And, you know, yesterday was very disappointing, you know, because of McDermott kicking the two field goals. But, you know, it's a good feeling knowing that they'll be back. And I just have a couple points. First on offense, I'm all good with John Brown not being in a Bills uniform anymore. He played pretty bad in the past couple playoff games and you know, the drops against Indianapolis, and there was a drop last week. And, you know, obviously the drop off the hands for the interception yesterday. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, I'm not sure what kind of value of a player you're going to get with that 30 overall pick there. So, you know, maybe because Houston's kind of trying to deal out all their guys and they're low on draft picks, maybe we trade that pick for, you know, a defensive pass rusher and J.J. Watt. You know, watching the game yesterday, the linebackers really weren't getting home on Mahomes, and we really weren't getting any pass rush. So I think that's one of the spots that you know, Bean could look at it and improve on. And I'll get your guys' opinion. Thanks for taking my call again.
I think it's one of the areas they'll be looking to get pass rush. I think they'd be looking to add another cornerback. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure if you look at the defensive line, especially the ends, you know, you do have older guys like Addison and Hughes here. You've got Epinesa. I mean, Daryl Johnson plays, but he's a rotational guy and includes some special teams work. So I would think, and you have Oliver inside, I would think you'd want to get another young defensive end, edge guy to come in here. I wouldn't be surprised where they take it. I don't know if they would trade for J.J. Watt. I suppose they could. But I would think they'd be leaning more towards bringing in another young defensive end through the draft. And I would assume they're going to want to address corner at some point, too, in the first few rounds of the draft.
One question about the draft that I think is the fundamental question we will ask. Is it best player available, or is it who will beat the Chiefs? I mean, being serious.
No,
are you now building specifically with an opponent in mind? Because I think you probably should be.
Yeah, you got to beat Kansas City. It looks like that way for a while, too. Yeah,
they're going to be around, so you've got to design a team that you think can beat them. I mean, not to say that they're the best player available and player to beat the Chiefs are two different things. Of course, it could be the same player. It's just, you know, this draft, we're going to be leading up to it, talking about it for months. What are we going to say, right? We're going to talk about getting the quarterback when you have four. Can you get to the quarterback with four? Can I get a defensive end that can make a difference? Can I get a defensive tackle that can push more the way that Chris Jones did the other just last night?
Maybe another speed guy in your back seven, so you can maybe chase some of these guys down or cover some of these speed
weapons. Or is it another speed receiver? Like, to replace John Brown, you get a receiver that's going to be, I don't know, more dynamic. I mean, John Brown's pretty fast.
Yeah, but that's actually, I mean, I know we'll get into a lot of off-season discussions, but that is an area where if you're looking for cap space, he would probably be, if he's not at the top of the list, he's near the top of the list of, you got Diggs, you got Davis, you got Beasley, you move on from Brown, you save $8 million in the cap, and you can use that to, you know, re-sign Milano or do some of the other moves. I could see that happening in the offseason, Brown not being on the roster next year for cap reasons. All right, we'll get a break. Hey, we got a couple guys on hold. Hang on. We do have open lines for the first time in a while. So if you want to get in now, since we have an open segment on the way here. Actually, we're in hour three. 803-0550 to join us. And you can share your thoughts on the loss in Kansas City last night. What's more concerning to you? Was it the offense? Was it the defense? Was it the coaching? Whatever else is on your mind as we talk Bills football. By the way, Bills news throughout the course of the playoffs has been brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. Grab a line, join us. Bills Football Monday, WGR.
Marquez left foots it into the air. Hardman standing at his 11-yard line, drops it, muffs it, loose ball. Looks like it's recovered by Buffalo, and he goes into the end zone. Tywan Jones comes up with it at the 2-yard line.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!